just to end, is Mishnah Dalit. Mishnah Dalit says, Yosef ben Yo'ezer ish tzweda. Yosef ben Yo'ezer ish tzweda, but Yosef ben Yo'echlan ish yishalayim kiblu mehem. They accepted the Torah from them. One was the Nasi, and one was the Abbezdim. Yosef ben Yo'ezer ish tzweda oimer. Yiyeh beischa beisvad l'chachamim, which we'll get to in the coming nights. I want to end with these words. Yiyeh misavek ba'farag leim. Literally it means roll in the dirt of their feet. Roll around in the dirt of their feet. But I want to tell you a gorgeous pshat, an unbelievable pshat from the Ruach Chaim, who's Reb Chaim V'Lozhin. Reb Chaim V'Lozhin wrote a sefer on Avos called Ruach Chaim. And there he says a gorgeous pshat. And he says what it means by misavek ba'farag leim. Misavek is another meaning besides to roll in the dirt. Misavek, what is it? Everybody knows the song. Vayavek means to fight. And the Nefesh HaChaim system that's very dear to me, because this is a motto of mine in my life, that I stress to myself and I want others to know it, is the Chaim V'Lozhin says there's a machla. People sit with my Rebbe, and everything's, oh, what did the Rebbe say? What do you mean? And they sit there, they don't think on their own. And the Chaim V'Lozhin rips it, and he says, fight your Rebbe! Vayis'avek means fight him. Reb Chaim V'Lozhin, the Ruach Chaim, says Vayis'avek. It means fight him. Fight your Rebbe. Don't sit there just be makab law. The Rebbe said, oh, that's pshat. No! What do you think pshat is? Mis'avek, fight him. Having mis'avek. But bafarag layim. Remember they're bigger than you. Bafarag layim. Remember he's bigger than you. But fight him. But he's bigger than you. With covet, speak properly, but fight him. He says, you learn svarim. Reb Chaim V'Lozhin says svarim. You learn an achron. Don't sit there, oh, wow. Don't wow. What do you think pshat is? What do you think pshat is? Hashem's talking to you. Not to Yichavrusa, not to you, to you. What do you think pshat is? Having misavik. You see something in the sefer, fight it. Misavik. Reb Chaim V'Lozhin says it. Misavik, fight it. But by farag layim. But in the dust of their feet, remember they're bigger than you. Speak with covet. You don't say, Ashtos what Pnei Yeshua is saying. You don't say that. But fight the Pnei Yeshua. What are you doing, Shadis? But by fire of lame, by fire of lame. Very crucial. A person can't learn Torah without this Mishnah. I ran to it tonight. I skipped the last Mishnah part. I'm going to go back to parts of the last Mishnah. I want first aid. You have a first aid tomorrow. You have to know, you have to have your pshat. What do you think? I don't care who the person is. No, not me. Me, I'm a pshat. I'm in trouble reading. So I don't care. What do you think pshat is? This is the only way to learn. There is no other way to learn. What do you think pshat is? How a person, what does this one say? What does my chavrusa say? Who cares? What do you think pshat is? What do you think Tosis says? Nothing else matters. What do you think Tosis means? Harb and kill yourself so you can come with a real pshat to what Tosis means. But it's a working and working and killing. So what do you think he means? That's Torah. Having misavik, fight him. Fight anybody who says otherwise. But by farag lane, with kavod. Mishnah Dalit says, Yosef ben Yo'ezer, Ish Tzweda, Yosef ben Yo'echlan, Ish Shalayim, Kippu Mehem. They accepted from them. The washing from them is a little beer, because they accepted the Mishnah before has only one person in it. Zantimus ish soichai. The Lashon Mayhem is a little hesper. Somewhere they got it from Anshim Nesakdoilu, which seems to go back and take a shnais ago. Needs a little beer. But it says these two were Makabo. Yosef ben Yo'ezer ish tzweida oimer. He used to say, Yei beischa beisvad l'chachamim, vav misavik v'afar v'leinim, yishoyis mitzam is the vreim, which taich means your house. It should be a house for chachamim. You should roll in their dirt. You should have a strong kesher to them, and you should drink their words in thirst. You should thirstfully drink their words. It's a very in thing today. Some of the Olim here definitely knows about it. It's a very in thing. It happens to be a beautiful, beautiful minute. It's very fancy to have shaychas to rebbes today. It's a very in thing. If you can roll out at your chasnas a certain amount of rebbes, shivas, it's very fancy. And Baruch Hashem, it's a beautiful thing. If you could have a rebbe eat at your house, he comes to visit your house, and it's a beautiful thing. I'm not Chassid Shalom in front of it. It's a beautiful thing. You respect to a Rebbe. It's a beautiful thing. It's very hip in some communities. How many Rebbes, it's looked at, a Chassid is a big social status. what, this guy's a 5 Rebbe Chas, and this guy's a 5 Rebbe guy. The other guy's a 10 Rebbe guy. He's only a 1 Rebbe guy. Depends. Different. And it's a beautiful Baruch Hashem. That's best in the mash of other ways. But I think what this Mishnah is saying, and I want to have shat in this Mishnah, is there are people who have shaykhs to Nadim Gadol, but they're equal. It's a way of getting covered. I have a shaykh to Nadim Gadol. Check it out. So it's a way of getting covered for a person himself. He gets honor for himself. But it's very important that it's not stam by the shaykh to Nadim Gadol. He's bigger than me. I have shaykhs to him, but it's not, we're not equals. It's not, there's a way of getting good covered. So now with this covered, I shlap along. I also have covered. That's the first part of the Mishnah. It says, "Ye beis kabeis va'alecham." That's a good thing. Let your house be a place the chum can come. It's a good zach. Ye beis kabeis va'alecham. Good start. But by misavik bafarad leyim, make sure it's not me and him, me and such a rebbe. But misavik bafarad leyim, you're rolling in his dirt. In his dirt, he's bigger than you. You have to give respect. You have to have a real chashivas. Not me and him. It's not buddy buddies. He's bigger than me. Even now, you have the first two steps. The person is a shaykhus to Rabban Gadol. And then the person looks up. It's not an equal. Then, but that's still not enough. But still, it's very nice. But what's the purpose of it all? What's the inyan of having a shaykhus to a Rebbe? To a Rebbe, a Rebbe, a Rabban Gadol. What's the inyan? It's not some social thing. It's not some people with teva have like having a leader. It's the nature of people. They like having a leader. But it's not some. It's not enough of that. We have a leader. We have the very early. So what's the purpose of the Gadol? The purpose is, the Rambam says in Sefer HaMitzvot, L'dov Gavoy, on the mitzvah of being Dovit B'Kadosh Baruch Hu, he quotes the following Sifri. The Sifri says, V'Efshar Rivdut B'Kadosh Baruch Hu, is it possible to tash to Hashem? Hashem's an Eish Ochla. Elo v'misdadik et ha-bidacham, and through the Tveidus ha-bidacham, you'll get a Shaykh to Hashem. Why? Because you'll listen to their words. You'll follow their teachings. They'll rub off on you. That's the Indian. So it starts. There should be base for base va'alacham, not a shaykhus. Good. You're off to a good start. It's not enough. Then, knock them, stabbing by frag lay and give them cover. They're loftier than you. Then, it's supposed to leave. It's not enough good. So I'm mechabin and for what? Then, it's by the shaykhs with some as the rayim. Drink their words thirstily. Learn from them. Let them rub off on you. Act like them. Imitate them. That's the ultimate goal of having a shaykhus. If the Rebbe comes to the chasnas, you have to be different. Follow the Rebbe's teachings. If the Adam Gadol comes to the chas, not just on his social status. Follow his teachings. Listen to what he says. Listen to what he preaches. That, and only that, is the value of the Gadol, the Shaykh's Tamil Chacham. Another pshat, perhaps, in Beis Chabes, Ba'al of Chamin, I was thinking, maybe, it says your house should be a meeting house for Chamin. Not always so Shaykh. You can have all, you invite people over. I don't know, you call up Rabbi and Shiva. You call up the shiva of Chaim, and you call him up and say, can you come to my house? And I'll just say, something. I don't know if that's up in a small time. I don't know. It's not always possible. You try. Perhaps another shot in the Mishnah is your house should be a place where Talmud Chacham will feel comfortable. Your house should be basically based on the Chachamim. Your house could be such a place. Make sure your house is such a place. And even one who has been there, make sure when the Gdolim aren't there, the house is right. It's a sweetness in the house. There's sometimes people when they have guests over, they entertain people in the house. So it's all nice and sweet. And all of a sudden there are no guests around, that's yelling and bickering, and he's yelling at his kids, and he's yelling at his wife, Rahman al-Tzlan. It's all tense. That's not a base. That's not a house for Tamid Chacham. Make sure your house at all times in your house, Beis Hashem, you'll be married, make sure at all times to be perfectly comfortable that Moshe finds you sitting on your couch. Make sure you're perfectly comfortable. You have a Gadol picture, make sure he was alive there. He's alive sitting in your house. You'd be very comfortable. Another pshat, written Achrayim already, beautiful pshat, is it means, let your house be a Beis Vayal Chamin, let your house be a Beis Medrash. Yeah, Beischa, Beis Vayal Chamin. Let your house, not your house at home, your house should be the place where come hang out. Not the Chum should come to the U.S., you should go to the Chum's house, go to the Beis Medrash. Welcome always, it's an old story. The bottom line for a Bach, for all of us, you know, man, a Bachar, the bottom line is when we all get in trouble, we all have our stars, we're not sitting in the Beis Medrash. Sitting in the Beis Medrash, the troubles of life don't hit us. They just don't. They just don't hit us so much. All the Nisyonis, and the fights, and the Zachim, and the Tivis. Sitting in the Beis Medrash, there's no Tivis, no priests here, Baruch Hashem. Sit in the Beis Medrash, the person's protected. Make sure that your house, the place where you're very comfortable, where your ikar dwelling is the Beis Vayal Chacham, is the Beis Medrash. In Mishnah Hey it says Yosef ben Yochanan ishu shalayim meimer. He was the Abbezdin. And he used to say, Yia beischa pasuach lervacha, your house should be open wide. Yia aniyim b'nei beischa. Aniyim should be the b'nei baris, should be the children of your house. I'll tell you a verse from the Chavetz Chaim that's much more nagea, ladies. You won't relate to this fully till you're married. When you're married, you'll see in your wife, you'll relate to it. Many times, it's true a little by men, more by ladies. It's nagea more, one day you tell your wife in a soft way. Don't say soft teaching way, not in a... Maybe don't tell her, but it's good for you to know anyway. There are many times people feel that, let's say they don't have the perfect meal prepared, and there's an ani, somebody is in Nitzrah, somebody needs a meal. They're afraid to invite him. Listen, the house is not in the proper order, and I don't know if the food is exactly up to par. We knew we were having guests, we would have prepared, so they don't have the guests. Now the truth is, this guy is desperate for a meal. He's desperate, whatever reason, he's an ani, he's in shul, whatever reason, he's desperate for a suda. To him, he just wants to be invited. But it's a little covered thing. It's a little, you know, it's not the exact suda you want when you have a guest. So the Chavetz Chaim says, that's why it says, Aniyim should be bias, to be the children of your house. On the children of your house, you only invite your kids for meals, not if it's the perfect meal. But they bias, they belong here. You're not so mocked if it's the perfect meal. They belong here. Aniyim should be bias. Don't make cheshbonis, the Chavetz Chaim says. Don't say to yourself, I don't know, it's not the proper meal. Don't make cheshbonis. They need a suda desperately. On your kids, you don't not bring them to supper because it's not the perfect meal. Bring them in. They need to be in your house. Just beautiful pshat, the Chavetz Chaim. Just with the word, pshat in the word, it's an important gedda in Achlas Sarchim. Important gedda. I remember one house that so I used to go to. My wife and I went to a few times when we spoke. We felt this mission was what we were carrying. That it says that aniyim should be bnei bayis. It's a beautiful pashat chazal. It says that aniyim should feel comfortable in your house. Should be bnei bayis. Bnei bayis means they feel it's their home. It's a very strong darg of achmas sarchim that's ready to work on that aniyim the tzrachim. Those that need it should feel bnei bayis. They should feel they belong in your house. It's a very chash of a darg of achmas sarchim. Each one has to know in his own way how he accomplishes that. But it's more than Achmas Sarkim. I mean, people have a lot of people over. It's a much deeper level of Achmas Sarkim. It's not just you have guests over. They don't feel like guests. Mitzrachim, Aniyim, should be bnei beisecha. They should feel like they belong in the house. It's a certain art. I mean, I just saw it by a certain house of life. Now, we always felt that you felt like a balabas there. We used to say this always. You felt like a balabas. You felt like the boss there. And that's the Aniyim, bnei beisecha. They should be the bnei bayis. These Aniyim should feel like the boss. I want to end, I promise the Olam, we'll continue with Mishnah Hay tomorrow night, we'll be there. In Mishnah Gimel, we said we discuss a little Mishnah Gimel further. Mishnah Gimel said, it said that you shouldn't serve Hashem for reward, you should serve Hashem not for rewards. Which is a very lofty diet of serving Hashem l'shma. Then the Mishnah ends, v'yiyeh meir shemayim aleichem, shall fear of heaven on yourself. Meir shemayim aleichem. Shafir Shemaim, Shafir Akash Baruch Hu, Aleich Manu. Now, not to be Mayrach on this, there are two types of Yira. There's a lower level of Yira, which is a fear of punishment, the lower level of Yira. A higher level of Yira is Yira Sarayimus. The order of things, the lowest level of Eitz Hashem is to serve fear of punishment. A little higher is Avas Hashem, and the highest level is Yira Sarayimus. I'm afraid of Hashem, not because of punishment. He's so lofty, how can you cross Hashem? It's called Yira Sarayimus. It's unclear in this mission of what year we're talking about. It says, serve Lashma and fear Hashem. So if it refers to the lower level of fearing Hashem, of punishment, it's very schwer. You say, serve Hashem Lashma and fear punishment. I passed that already. If I'm up to serving Hashem, not for reward, Lashma, I'm well past punishment. I'm just past there. So why does it say, the Amar Shemayim Aleichem, I passed it. So you could learn, L'mana emes, you could learn Meir Shemayim Aleichem means Yiras HaRoimus. It means L'shma, and perhaps a higher dire L'shma is L'chap Yiras Shemayim. You could learn another pshat, the Ikkar pshat I want to say in a second. The seven possibilities you could learn, you're supposed to serve Hashem like an Eved, who gets very buddy-buddy with Hashem. Remember we spoke after Rav Hirsch, that you're supposed to serve Hashem, the prize you want, the present is the relationship to Hashem. You're not looking for a separate reward, the relationship you want. Now, some girls, when you're two buddy-buddies with somebody, you're pagay living in your cupboard. So we end up having Yir Shemayim. Don't, you know, you're close to Hashem, but you have to be Yir Shemayim. Be careful. Even though you're buddy-buddy, even though you feel very close, you want the kesher, a good kesher, you have to hear Shemayim. The first is. What I want to share with the Olam is a very important point. I did in Yiddishkeit, a very important point. I once heard on a tape, I actually heard it live, on a tape, with a chashuv speaker, sweet, I respect, but he was making a lot of fun of Gehenim, like the people using the fear of Gehenim. Ooh, they're going to get punished. He was making a lot of fun of it. Now, the truth is, it's not something to make fun of at all. It's a tool every single one of us has to have. There has to be the year of punishment. It's the lowest love to start. This doesn't mean your whole motivation in life. It doesn't mean you walk around with a great tittering. But a person certainly has to have a certain fear of punishment. Now, this Mishnah saying is, we're talking about a guy who says, Shmach. The Chayim Savavitz Kemat says this. I don't want to say this is him, because I can't, struggle through the Chayim Savavitz. We think this is what I understood the Chayim Savavitz means. I don't know 100% this is what it means. The I understood the Chayim Savavitz is somebody who serves Hashem Lishma, even a lofty person, needs to have the elementary fear of Hashem, a fear of punishment. Why? Because all these lofty feelings, there are times you have it, and just times you don't have it. Even somebody who says Lishma, who Avas Hashem, with very high darkness, it's not something, it's not all or nothing. You could have it, some people, a smaller person has it 5 minutes a day. Another person could have irrigation 20 minutes a day. Another guy an hour, 2 hours, 5 hours. These are already leagues that are 10 hours a day, 12 hours a day. These are daily leagues already. But the people that aren't time during the day, well, you don't have those natural feelings of love of Hashem. And at those moments, a person has to hold himself with Yir Shemayim. Pashut fear of Einish. So everybody needs both. And fear of Einish alone wouldn't work either. Fear of Einish alone is like dodging bullets my whole life. I don't want to get punished. Uh-oh, stay with this. You need the Avas Hashem also. But a person needs both. And it's not an important mussar for us that at times we do feel it. And those times we feel we serve Hashem full force ahead. Even times we have Nishrachkeit a little bit. Our Avas Hashem, our Hageshim, our Lishma is a little down. We have times like that. Yir Mershemayim alaykum. We have to build up a Yir Shemayim that's just wrong to sin. It's just dangerous to sin. Pashut, we have to train ourselves. Now, when it comes, it doesn't come naturally. Yir Shemayim is not, the Bisrael is a long memory on this. It's not natural. It doesn't come naturally, Yir Shemayim. The Bisrael lays it as a kasha. Bisrael, I don't want to be married now. It's already beyond my time. But we have to work on instilling in ourselves here. This Yir Shemayim, to practice, console ourselves. Say to yourself, you're going through, you don't have these strong engagement, you're about to do something wrong. Speak it out quietly, nobody has to hear you. You say, if I do that wrong, I will get punished. Your whole life's not being wrong, punishment's not being wrong. You're not depressed, as long as it's very, very happy feelings. Not depressing. Not at all. It's no shame. Depression comes from other sources, maybe we could speak about it at a different time. There's no shame for depression. It's a very good thing, it even. Say, if I will do that, with a big smile. If I will do that, I'll get a big slap. Say it to yourself. Say it mentally. Say, if I do that, I will get slapped. Simple. You could do that with davening, by the way. There are times you feel good davening. The other times you have to awaken yourself. It's partial wrong to daven. Like Havana sessions, name, like the tent. You have to use both. We can't just go with Yir Shemayim. We can't just go all day, my motivation is I'm going to be slapped. We have to work with Lishma, with Kargeshim. We also have to bring up in ourselves, and it doesn't come naturally. If you don't do it yourself, nobody's doing it for you. It won't happen naturally. You have to work, and only you can work, on instilling in yourself Yir Shemayim. This Pashut Fiyav Hashem, a very low level Yir Shemayim. That if I do that, I will get a patch. One way or another, I don't know now, later, tomorrow, I will get patch. You go to, if you ever want, on a Friday, so go to a hospital, there's a lot of patch being given. A lot of patch. Hashem patches. I will get patch if I do that. And if I do, I don't just, it's not my whole life, I get patch, I'll get tremendous schar if I do mitzvahs, I will shma and avas Hashem, both, a balance. Says, your house should be wide open. There's the pshat that all the Rishonim, the common pshat amongst the Rishonim, amongst the first Rabbis, the widest pshat is just like Avraham Avinu had his house open on all four sides,
Your house should be wide open. It should be open on all four sides. So I want to speak about Aver Kapshak and then Aver Krush. What is the Mishnah teaching you? It's a very funny teaching. You should have doors on every side of your house. Rabbi Shalom, what? The guest, it's a little hard for the guest to walk around to the front door. What does this practically mean? Your house should be wide open. All in the first and bring should have four doors. But you need a door on each side. Sorry? Let's shut all our houses. Ali says, we don't keep this. Let's shut all our houses don't have four doors. It's a good kasha. So what's Pshat in the Mishnah? Your house should be open, Levracha. He's telling us the Mishnah open, Levracha. All in the first and second should have four doors. And Stam, what's the Indian? A guest can't walk around to the front door. He needs an Avram Avinu. Stam, what's the Indian? It says about Avram that Avram Avinu's house had four doors. What's the Indian? What's the greatness of Avram Avinu's house? Avram Avinu did everybody a favor. What did Avram do? He had four doors. He had a door on each side. So what was the big game? What's the big game? Whoopee! A guest, if he wants to come to your house, instead of him to go to the front door, it's great. He can walk the side door. It must look a weird looking house. The door right into the living room, one right into the kitchen, one in the back. What's the big deal? And the Mishnah is telling you, you should imitate Avram. You too should have four doors. So one possibility what the Mishnah is saying is four doors announces to all guests, I want you. What four doors says to a person, it's not to point to four doors, but Avram, by having four doors to his house, what he in essence said is, I want you. If there's a door facing every direction, what it really says is, I want you. And what this Mishnah is telling you is you should have four doors, really means you should be a person that it's clear you want the guest. The worst thing about being a guest, the worst thing is to feel unwanted. It's to feel a little bit of a pain. To feel like I'm not really wanted, I don't know. The ultimate goal of a host, of somebody who's a machnas ayir, is to be a four-door person. A four-door person means it announces to a guest, I want you. Don't you see I have a door? I made three extra doors, literally or figuratively. I have extra doors in every direction announcing to each guest, I want you. If I want you, so I'm doing you a favor. That's the way it should be. And that's one shot in four-door people. A second, more al derech drush, that's pshat. Al derech drush, four doors is a pshat like this. Some people are very comfortable having a certain type of guest. If they're a certain social status, so they want a certain type of guest. If they want a cool guy, they're cool, having cool people. If they happen to be a certain type, they only want an Adam Gadol, they only want a big Talmud Chacham in their house. If they're a certain type, they only want an Am Aretz, an unlearned person in their house. If they're a certain type, they have certain type. I like certain people, it's easy to have over. Other people, that's not my type, it's a little harder. A four-door person is shot from any angle, from any side of the world, I want in my house. That's what it means to have to be open or vacha, wide open. It means from all sides of the world. It's not dependent on the type of guy. We have to imitate Avram Avinu, who's anybody in the world. Three Arabs showed up, and Avram Avinu wanted them too, and they were all dirty and weren't well kept, and Avram Avinu wanted them too. Because that's what it means, it's a four-door person. A four-door person means people from all angles, it's not a certain type. That's pshat, you basically have a suach l'rvacha. It goes down to v'yiyu aniyim b'nei beisecha. Aniyim should be the people of your house. We spoke out last night one understanding. I want to speak out Rashi, a totally different understanding from Rashi. Rashi says, aniyim should be the people of your house. It means as follows. If you're looking to hire workers, hire Jews. That's what it means. Aniyim should be b'nei beisecha. That's what Rashi learns. Rashi learns, if you're looking to hire workers, you should hire the aniyim should be b'nei beisecha. They're the ones you should hire. There's a tendency of people, it's a very fascinating tendency of people, Stam, that your family is the last one you're nice to. It's an old tendency of people that if you, if your family's going on a trip and your friend's going on a trip, it's much more exciting to go with your friends. The closer it is to you, we have a tendency, so it's not as exciting to be nice to them. Not as exciting. Somebody new, somebody fresh, it's much easier to be nice to. Here, sometimes I feel with Yidden, sometimes even with Jews that way, there are brothers, easier to be nice elsewhere, sometimes. The Aniyim B'nei Besechem is even those close to you and Jews, you start there. The Aniyim B'nei Besechem. The Mishnah goes on, that's a Rashi word. The Mishnah goes on, Val Tarba Sicha Anisha. Don't speak a lot with a lady. Now Chazal tells a shocking thing, it means your wife. What does this mean, don't speak a lot with your wife? So there's a few pshatim said, But I want to speak about the Bar Tanura. The Bar Tanura has two pshatim that are very fundamental in life. Most of us are not married, but keep this in mind. Keep this in mind until you're married. Keep this in mind. The Bar Tanura says two fundamental principles of marriage, very important principles, when it says don't speak a lot to your wife. Vadi shishmuzi wife, give her the time. So what does it mean don't speak a lot? Two possibilities. Either it means if you had a tough day at work, if people embarrassed you, said bad things about you, don't say it over to your wife, he says. Don't say bad things people said about you to your wife. He says your wife's going to start thinking lowly of you also. Your wife's going to start thinking lowly. You don't have to say all your failures to your wife. People sometimes feel not a good relationship. If I don't say everything negative that happened to me, then it's not a good relationship. A man goes out to work, he comes home from work. He asks, but sometimes people feel they have to tell their wives all the negatives. It creates negativity in the house. It doesn't solve anything. All it does, the person should come home smiling. It doesn't mean that, but it's not a real relationship. Today we live in negative psychology, like say all. So you go on the radio in front of 5 million people, the most private matter in the world, only 25 million people listening, and you tell Dr. Schmoyer or whatever, you tell some doctor, and you announce to 25 million people your private problem. We live in the age when private things don't have... Certain things, not everything can be close as you want to a person. It's not an equivalent relationship. Not everything has to be said over. If the man had a tough day at work, doesn't mean he never could say over. Doesn't mean later, a few hours later, but he makes a negative home. And what happens is, the Bar Tanura says this, what happens is, his wife, instead of his wife saying, oh, I feel so bad, what ends up happening, she also thinks lowly of him. She ends up just, he should come home with a smile. It's famous of Shlomo Zalman Orbach, the great of Shlomo Zalman Orbach, who at the funeral of his wife got up, and he said, it's a custom to ask an apology from your wife at the funeral. He said, I will not apologize to my wife, because if we were married over 50 years, I have nothing to ask an apology for. He said it to Levita's wife. So this is Shlomo Zalman Orbach. It's known that on a tender home from yeshiva, he learned from yeshiva, on a tender home from Kol Torah, he would eat cookies. Somebody asked, it wasn't fitting his personality. He's a person who wasn't into gashmius. He wasn't into worldly things so much. He was a big parish. He was sitting on the tender eating cookies. Somebody asked him. Somebody had the audacity to ask him, what are you doing? It doesn't really fit you. He's a person holding in high, lofty places. What are you eating cookies? And he says, when you come home from a tough day in yeshiva, if you're hungry, your midos, your character's not as best. See, why? Oh, Rav Shlomo Zalman, so good to see you. Where's the food? What's for supper tonight? The guy's old grandson said, I have a cookie. I come home, I can first schmooze my wife, I can look at the children, I can see them, bring a positive outlook home. On my tender, I was on a tender, I used to go to teach in TJ at night. So I used to go from the mirror directly to TJ. So some of the kolol, the people on the tender who were in kolol, used to eat cookies. They used to eat something, and they used to all call them Shlomo Zalman cookies. They were hungry, I don't know. Anyway, they used to call them Shlomo Zalman cookies. So whenever you're eating, you can sound from, and you just call it Shlomo Zalman cookies. You're not married yet. But anyway, there's a very important thing to bring positive home. And that's how the Bar Tanura, Rishon, learns, Al Tarva Sicha Me'isha, don't speak a lot to your wife, he's negative. Negative talk. Don't talk negative, don't bring over, oh, it's so terrible. Positive! There's a Rambam, an amazing Rambam. The Rambam says about a husband, also la'atzev, it's also to be said. The Rambam says about a husband, a husband's job is to bring a positive outlook into the home. A husband many times, today's day and age, the wife also deals in the world, but the husband's many times one dealing in the world. Unfortunately, there's a lot of things you have to confront in the world. Sometimes a man comes home burdened by whatever his job is. The Rambam says, also la'atzev, no matter how tough that their business, he could be a day trader and the stocks plummeted, Kasper Shom for that person. But the person still has to come home with a smile from ear to ear and no negativity at home. That's the Bar Tanura learns. Al tar b'sicha misha. Don't have too much down to negative talk to your wife. Positive, gewaldig, ah, I have my arms, my legs, ah, the kids are here, your wife's here, ah, gewaldig. Positive outlook, that's one shot. Shot number two, he says, is very important also. This is very, 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 very important. He says, don't talk to too much your wife. If you're in a fight with somebody, don't tell her that's what somebody did to you. Sometimes, in Hilton's Lashon Hara, it's mutter. There are cases in the laws of Lashon Hara, where Berkowitz Paskins, if you want to vent, you could tell your wife, you're not allowed to believe anything I say, and then you could vent her. She's not allowed to believe you fully, she knows you're angry. Even when it's mutter to vent, don't tell your wife about a fight you're in. Why not? Because this is what happens. A man's in a fight with some others, and his boss said something not nice to him. So if he doesn't tell his wife, the next day his boss will say nice words, then boom, the fight's over. He tells his wife, your wife's not going to be motivated so fast. She's going to be burning mad at that boss for 2 years. And she's not there when you made up. She doesn't know the context of the work that it happened. Sometimes. So you had a day, a frustrating day. So you come home, that co-worker said, my chavrusa said this is me, my rebbe said this is me, my boss. She doesn't know the context of the work. It's normal. And the day before, she doesn't know what you said to him. So, and the next day, you're going to make up. She's going to be mad for a long time. People, this is a common thing. People rip their bosses. They rip their parents or something. It's the worst thing. They say something bad about their own parents or about their in-laws. The next day, the man could have made up. His wife still remembers it, and sometimes she still gets him angry about it. She could say, that boss is nasty. She convinces him to still be angry about it. It's important, don't say, I'll have a sicha misha. Speak to your wife, give her attention, talk to her, she deserves it. But not about what other people did bad to you. This is the Baal Tanur Rishon says, Tuk Shatim, and I'll have a sicha misha. It says, "Be'ishta yamu." It's going on a person's wife. Kavachomer beish chaveri. Certainly, somebody else's wife. You have to be careful not to talk to so much. Somebody else's wife, not to talk to too much. That means kipshuta. Person shouldn't be overly. In America, in the Western world, it's a little common, unfortunately, and that's why there's a lot of problems in marriages. It's a little common. A man can be best friends with his friend's wife. Be best friends. Be best friend. Person is not best friends. His best friend is his friend, and his wife's best friend is the friend's wife. Not to be too buddy-buddy with his friend's wife. His friend's wife. Some even have a gedder. It's good. Depends on the ages. I'm not making a rule. Depends on the age. Certainly for young married couples. Certainly for when you're newlywed, don't call your friend's wife by the first name. You have Nassim Vachkov, who used to recommend that highly. When you're newlywed, I'm not going through life, different stages, it's true. There are different stages. Hard to make rules on these things. When you're young newlywed, don't call your friend's wife, especially your very close friends. A lot of times with different ages, it's not as important. Your friend's wives, don't call by the first names. Mrs. So-and-so. It's Al-Tar B'Sicha. Don't talk too much to your friend's wife. Again, these people worry that I won't be such close friends with my friend. You're close friends with your friends. And your wife, Be'ezer, shall be close friends with your wife, friend. You're not Al-Tar B'Sicha. Be'ezer's chaveri. Mikanam ha-chacham kol mar v'sicha me'isha, if somebody speaks too much for lay, go in rolach, may cause evil to himself, u'boikul m'divrei Torah, he's m'vatam m'divrei Torah, v'sob yorish gehenim, leads to bad places. The next Mishnah goes on to say, Netayar Beil Yomer, he was the Abbez, then he said, Harchek m'shochein ra, keep away from a bad neighbor, v'al t'schaber l'Russia, and don't attach oneself to a Russia. Before I say pshat in this Mishnah, I feel it's very kedai. Before we say pshat in the Mishnah, I want to read to the Oyel Rebbeinu Yonah on this issue of keeping away from bad influences. I want to read Rebbeinu Yonah. Rebbeinu Yonah says as follows: Shu einish gadol she'ein kimoisai. One who attaches to a rasha gets a terrible einish that she'ein kimoisai. Why? Ki achet achomer pashavai. Somebody who's negligent on a terrible avera. Asa avera achas. He did one avera, terrible one albeit, but one avera. Avol zeh, this person who attaches himself to a rasha, b'chol avera she'oisa a rasha, with every avera the rasha does, yesh lo chelek behem, v'nimsa oisech atoyim rabim gedoyim v'atzumim. By this one act of befriending the rasha, being mechaber at the rasha, he did avera gedoyim rabim v'atzumim. In yod of asum, his hands were tied, he didn't have pleasure from one of them. The oil of Russia, oil of Shchena, woe is to the Russia, woe is to his neighbor. Kiuchaita, the Russia sins the Shchena minugad, and the Shachin gets hit. Shekenu mefurish ba'ovis to Rav Nosin. Koan madbik murshoim, alo b'shena oisek masei, he's different. He attaches to the Russia, he doesn't act like them. Noitel schar kiyotvi, and he gets punished, Rachman, it's not like them. And the hepach is true. Va'medabik mitzadikim, one who attaches himself to a tzaddik, apushein oisik maseim, hella, it's Rebbeinu Yonah, Rishon. He doesn't necessarily act like the tzaddik. Noitel schar kiyotzbem. He gets schar like the tzaddik. And he quotes a pasuk. Half poor fella. The Indian of keeping away from a Russia. The Mishnah, Lashon of the Mishnah is harchek mishochein ra, keep away, detached, v'atashaber l'rasha. What's the change in Lashon? Harchek, have a richuk, stay far away from a bad neighbor, And it's al tischaber l'loshe. Don't have a chibur and attachment. Why doesn't it say keep harchik, keep far away? It doesn't say to keep far away from the Russia. From a bad neighbor, harchik, keep far away. From a Russia, it doesn't say keep far away. From the Russia, it just says al tischaber. Don't become a chaver then. Don't attach yourself. It doesn't say to go far away. It's a middle level. So Daniel Klein told me a pshat, beautiful pshat. He wanted a taina that fakert, the shochin ra is not a shaber guy. The shochin ra is a guy, maybe even has a beard. Maybe, ken zayin, he has payas. He's a guy who's a little, in maybe a negative influence. He's maybe a little bit of a letz. He's a little bit, maybe makes fun of erlicher people. He's a wise guy. He's more dangerous than the Russian. The Russian is the less of a danger. Al tischaber. In the end, okay, you won't be gairus. Just don't become friends with him. The shochin ra, the bad neighbor, is just a shtickle letz. He's the guy, you know, in a shir, middle of the shmooze, whispering here. And he whispers in like, you know, being a vatel. He's just the shochin ra. He's a bad neighbor. Middle of the shmooze, he makes fun of the shmooze, maybe. Whatever it is. Whatever he does, he makes little late sonas. He's the guy who sits next to the person during davening. Maybe he's a shmooser. It's much more harchik mishochin ra. He's more dangerous than Russia. That guy, just, you know, maybe he's a roommate. He goes places he shouldn't go. Face this. He might be more dangerous than Russia, perhaps. The Yoko wanted to tell me a pshat. Beautiful pshat. But I was thinking pshat, this Mishnah, and I caution before I say, I just believe it's pshat in the Mishnah. The exact ramifications, I don't know the answer when you do what. I'll explain in a second. I'm not saying this halach l'maisa. This pshat in the Mishnah, we have to work out when is what. There are two possibilities in an evil person. We can have an evil person as a shochin, as a neighbor. Gehainu, for some reason, he has gotten inside your life. It could be, it's a brother. Nobody here is not relevant to anybody here. It could be the shochin ra. This Russian is a brother of the person, is a parent, is a son. Rahman al-Utlan, I'm not relevant to anybody here. It could be the shochin ra literally lived next door to him. Somehow this person got in his life. The Russia got in his life. The Mishnah says, harchek, get away from him. If there was some external reason he's gotten into your life, harchek, make a rechuk, run away. You have to detach he's a neighbor, he's a shochin. He got into your life, harchek, run away. Now already you're detaching the person. There's no shchenus, they're not neighbors, they're not attached. Now the Mishnah says, you want to do kirv on the person. You could do it. Doesn't say harchek from the Russia. You're allowed to be mekarev to Russia. You can speak to the Russia. The Mepharshim say that it says Aaron, and we'll learn later on in Perek Rishon. It says Aaron HaKohen used to be mekarev Rishon. So the Mepharshim asked the Kasha, it says harchek Mishochin Rav, at the stab of the Russia. So they make the thing, it says, don't be a friend of the Russia. There's no external, he's not a shochin anymore. You did a richuk. He's not a neighbor anymore, you're merachim. Now on your terms, you could be mekarev, but al tischaber. There shouldn't be a friendship, it shouldn't be, don't bring back a kiruv. You're already in no longer a problem with the shochin. It's not a shochin, a hachik mishochin, you're in hachik already. Now you're working with the Russia, you could work with the Russia. Talk to him, be mekarev, and al tischaber. Not too close. You're not buddy buddies. You're doing kiruv on the Russia. I'm talking about Russia, as I say. Not a Tinnish. We're talking about Russia. Al tischaber Russia. Perhaps if you mekarev the Russia, perhaps you could talk to the Russia. Certainly, not perhaps. If you mekarev the Russia, you could talk to the Russia. Al tischaber. It's not with the chevreshev. Just push it on a very... Not, here we're talking about, look, it's the exact ramifications. This I don't know. I'm saying pshat in the Mishnah. A person shouldn't stay so fast. Okay, this person's a bad shachin for me. I'm a harchik. I have to run away. Don't passkin that up so fast. Don't passkin that up so fast. The kids, what I do think has to be spoken out on this Mishnah is I've seen time and time again, my own experience, and I'm sure from my own experience, I saw that my ikar, on a personal level, steigen out in my life came the times I was very close with people who were tzaddikim, with friends who were chashma friends. And times a person hangs, I always caution Bachman, Bachman's going to trip in as manim. Go with the right people. Go. It's the difference in Olam Haba and Gehenna. It's the whole difference. We read this with Ben Yonah. He says one who hangs with tzaddikim is not doing kemaseh, he gets tired.
What the pshat is that I leave for somebody here to explain? He's not doing kumasayim. Even though he's not doing kumasayim, he gets the schar like a tzaddik. And the hepachas is shown. Somebody who has to do the rosh, he's not doing kumasayim, he gets the schar of the rosh. Perhaps the pshat is, perhaps what his eyes not doing other actions, because it shows this is what he wants. So the one who's hanging with tzaddik, this is his desire. He gets the schar, it's his rotzen. He's not there, it's a machshava toiv mitzar from Eisen. And Rachman Tzlan the Hefer, the one who hangs with the Rasha, this is what he wants. And he's not doing Kimaseya, but shows us what he wants. And this is the vital, vital, vital importance. Vital, I beg Bachm, always Ben Azmanin. Go with the right people. If you're going on a trip, go with the right Hefer. It's the whole difference in Elam Havan Genim. In the yeshiva, it's the whole difference. The whole yeshiva experience, the difference is who his Hefer is. Who he forms and form fakir, it's form a chaburah. Because it's darim ibnei chaburah. I always like in yeshiva. And you see in yeshiva, and oilum forms a chaburah. One is mechazik. Ish is v'yeyu yoy mechazak. Each one's mechazik each other. It's tremendous power. A chaburah, a chevreshah of people doing ratzon Hashem. And achmal utzlam opposite way. Having a chevre of people not doing ratzon Hashem is tremendously powerful, tremendous influence. It's quite interesting that the two svarim, Sifrei Tanakh, that very much deal with growth, both start, Mishlei start with keeping away from Rishon. Al-Terech v'derech itam, enag, ragnachom, nesivasam. Mishlei, the book of growth, the book of Mishlei, which speaks about Musar, the Aleph base of Musar is keep away from Rishon. Aleph Musar, keep away from Rishon. Evil influences. And the David HaMelech, Sefer Tillim, which speaks about his David HaMelech's growth through life's experiences. And Tillim also starts at the beginning. Both father and son are telling us that the aleph towards growth is stay away from the wrong people. And fakir, person should attach himself to the right people. That's this Mishnah. The Mishnah ends about the siyash min aparanias. Maybe a person will say, I'll hang with the Russia. But when I see now things are going well with him, you know, I don't see the punishments coming yet. I know when he's punished, Hashem, Rahman Hussein punishes everybody near him. But right now things are going well. He's rich, he's prosperous, he's a Russia. When I see things start turning around to the bad, I'll run away. Don't have years for payments. He's going to get it faster than you think. And you're not, Rahman Hussein, you won't be able to run away fast enough. And when he gets, those that are hanging near him get it also. Oil Russia and Shainan. So at the siyayish ben apranias, don't have yish from punishments. Don't say, I don't see it coming when it comes. You know? No. Don't have yish. It's coming faster than you think. His downfall is coming faster, Rahman Uslan. And those that are hanging in his betziloi, those that are hanging in his shadow, will also get it with him. And therefore, a person should stay far away from Hashem. Attack only hang with those people who are tzaddikim. About the Bereshit Mishnah test. Yehuda ben Tavoy, Yishim ben Shatach, Kibu Mayem. They were the Kabbal, they were the next chain, the link of the sun. Yehuda ben Tavoy, Yoimer. Yehuda ben Tavoy said, Al tas atzmak urche adayonim. Don't make yourself like a lawyer. It's brought la'alach l'maisa, very fascinating din. Even if you're telling the truth, you're not supposed to be a lawyer. You're not allowed to go up to the Baalei Dinim, two people fighting against each other, and be misadar their tainus. If somebody here has a pshat law, I can explain to you. I don't know. I can guess. I don't know precisely what's wrong. Let me read you the lashon in the Rambam, and it's brought la'alacha. It says people who know the tainus and they know the din, they're thoroughly acquainted with the din Torah, not much like a lawyer. Adchi b'kinyan b'nei adam b'dineyan, and he says as follows: they tell you when the dayan says this, respond like this, and when the other baal din say like this, it's us to do it. The Rambam says, you're not allowed to do it even if you're trying to tell the truth. Even if you're not trying to cheat, you're just trying to get out the truth, you're not allowed to be a lawyer. I guess, the only thing I don't know if the yoke of Pshat is Gwil Allah, not to be Ka'urche Adayanim, not to be a lawyer, not to be the Sad of the Tainus. Yeah, but you're not passing, you're just a lawyer helping out one guy. You're telling him, listen, you're coaching him on. If the judge said like this, respond like this. I guess it will confuse the judge. Could lead to sheker. Because the ultimate thing, I guess, law is dangerous. Because if you're too familiar with the laws, you can always, it could lead to sheker. You can tell people, listen, if the judge says like this, you'll be able to time out of it. Yep, could be. Kitzur, it says not to do it, yeah. It's not, it's always looking at Mishra Sadin. You can't say, it's us, sir, you're not supposed to. So don't be Karcha Adayanim. If there are people judging in front of you, there are two people, you're a dayan, there are two people in front of you, they both should be like rishayim in your eyes. All the rishayim explain, and here I have a bomb cash of zaylam. I have a cash of zaylam that I want somebody here, I want them to contemplate the following bomb cash. This is also brought la'alach l'maiseh in chayshin mishpat simen yudzayim, that the two bali dinim should be rishayim in the eyes of the judges. What does that mean? So it says, let me read you the halacha, how it's brought in the Paiskim, in Simen Yud Zayin. In Simen Yud Zayin in Chayshu Mishpat, it says as follows. In Simen Yud Zayin it says, if there are two people come to him and din, in bowl of fun of Echad Kasher of Echad Rasha, one fellow, the two people in the court case, one is a Kasher, one's a Rasha, La'yoymar Zeh Rasha b'ches Kasim Mishaker, don't say, well, this guy's a Rasha, usually lies. Another guy's a tzaddik, he never would lie. What should you do? After I've been all the Russia, and what will I do? I'll gang up against the Russia. They both should be like a liar to you. Should be both are lying. Now, why doesn't it say both should be tzaddikim? The point is you should listen carefully to both their words if they're liars. To try to nab, the dayan should make sure they're saying the truth. As if he's a liar, if you listen to a liar so we're to see where he's lying, you should listen to both of them. Don't treat the tzaddik better than the Russian. That's what it says in Simen Yud Zayin. The pliyatsuma, the smayas, the stira, the smayas, the kasha. In Simen Yud Dalid, in Simen Tetzvah, that's all in Simen Yud Zayin, that's based on our Mishnah. It comes from the Mishnah Novice, which says, this Mishnah, Perek Rishon Mishnah Ches, which says, when the Baladinim are standing in front of you, they both should be like Rishon. The problem is in Simen Tetzvah, Mamish two Simonim earlier, it says as follows, La'alacha, it's amazing, it's a pillar. The Mechaber says, he goes to the La'alacha of the Dayan, he's Mechain Mitzvah Lov Lahapech B'Zchusay Mashiachol. If a tzaddik comes in front of you to a din, Talmud Chacham, it says, it's a mitzvah, lahapach v'zchusay mashayachol. Try to get him to be the right one. See where you can get him right. But it says, first of all, he gets his din judged first, and also mitzvah, love, lahapach v'zchusay mashayachol. As best as you can, try to get him right. I'll read you the lashon of the sma. The k'sheba Talmud Chacham lodim al we know that Talmud Chacham is probably telling the truth. Check out and listen carefully to the case in order to establish that Talmud Chacham is being one right. How does this fit with two simonim later, with there's two people in front of you, that both Rishon, don't favor the Talmud Chacham, don't say, listen, he never lies. Something... These two halachas are held the first two, smart, yes, the spirit.
Maybe yes, when you're listening to them, listen to them as if they in your eyes are a shame. Listen to every single word closely, like you would listen to a Rosh who's lying. And after you hear it, then be mehapechit, being that you listen to every single word carefully.
I mean, he's trying to catch them lying. The smart, perhaps, is similar to the Yoyim. I'm not offering a Teretz to the Yoyim right now. I want them to think about it. I'm going to look it up. One is Simen Yodalad, one is Simen Tesvav, the first halach on Tesvav. If you have time, sometime tomorrow, you can look it up tonight. Simen Tesvav, Simen Aleph, where it says that the Talmud Chacham, you're supposed to be Mahapech B'Zchusay, and in Simen Yud Zayin, based on our Mishnah, in Simen Yud Zayin, it says that if one's a tzaddik, one's a Russian, Simen Yud Zayin Yud. It says one's a tzaddik, one's a Russian. Don't say the tzaddik never lies, and the Russian's a liar. No, the both Rishon, based on our Mishnah. Mishnah Stira, that will leave this as a question. The Shach brings that when it says they both should be Rishon to you, the same way it's usher to look at a Rasha, you shouldn't look at either one. That's the Shach in Simen Yud Zayin brings. It says, you now be mistak of the Pnei Rasha. Ben Gurion once came to meet with the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish agreed to the meeting, but he held him as a Rasha, he refused to look at him. The Chazon Ish said, I'll meet with him, but I'll sit the other way. And the Chazon Ish had the whole meeting sitting the other way with his back to Ben Gurion, or at least his face, not facing Ben Gurion. It's a Maisa Shaya. Because he was makbid, he didn't want, you now be mistak of the Pnei Rasha. Now that I look at Russia, I always declare my wife, if I'm at the house as a paper, and I'm looking at a picture of Hussein or something, my wife always, Daniel, stop looking at a Russia. She gets nervous. Stop looking at a Russia. I declare always it's on paper. That's not the Pnei Russia, it's just the dogma of the Russia. I wonder if that's a din of the mistak mipnei Russia. I'm not sure.
Din chesed.
But yeah, it's not a Russia. It's only a tzura. It's a tzura similar to Russia. Kitzrat varim. So the Shach says that you should treat them like Rishon. You don't look at them. I saw a fascinating reason. That's halacha. A dayan, the minhag of many dayan, they used to sit with a talus over their heads. They didn't look at the two defendants, the two people. I saw such a beautiful reason. You see Edelkeit, you see Midas Tavis in the Torah. I saw such a beautiful reason why you shouldn't look at them. So mamish, a beautiful reason. I saw brought, if the dayan's going to look at them, you can imagine, each guy is going to claim, well, he looked at me a little softly. You saw him look, Rachmanis took a look at one guy, and the other guy is going to give up hope. If he sees him, Epis the dayan making good eye contact with one of them, and looking at him, the other guy's going to give up hope. We want each one to feel he can win the court case. We don't want a guy to say, oh, it's a little lost. Then he's not going to be able to, he's going to get flustered. Maybe the right guy is going to get flustered. He's going to see the dayan looking at the other guy, making a lot of eye contact with the other guy. It's mamish today that people look at the juries and they try to get like a sense if one of the jury members breaks out crying. Like in the middle of the story, you know he's a soft heart. So this way, you can't look at them. I saw a beautiful reason. That's why, and that's what it means. They should both be Rishon. Just like you have the Mistakel Shas, you have the Mistakel Pnei Rasha, you shouldn't look at them. The shackles are bringing the reason. The reason I saw it brought, it's brought by Shem the Me'am Leis. This reason, beautiful reason why you should look at them. The mission, yes. So they're not a Rishon. You treat them like Rishon, the Haim, you don't look at them. You're not looking at, there's a different reason in Russia, you don't look at one reason. The reason you're not looking at is this reason we're good. The Mishnah ends off, and it says, when they leave from in front of you, you should look at them like they're innocent. If they accept the judgment. Rabbeinu Yonis is a beautiful thing. She's a tremendous mussar for all of us. A tremendous mussar. And I'll tell you a maisa neira. I'll tell you an awesome story that happened. A true maisa shahayu, an awesome story. Rabbeinu Yonis said, watch that when they leave, you should look at them as innocent. Notice Lashon says, kizakayin, like they're innocent. Doesn't say they are innocent. Why? Zakta Rabbeinu Yonis says, the following is the pshat. He says, zui midas chasidus. It's midas chasidus, beyond the letter of the law. You found out one of them's a liar. The court case is ending. One was an absolute liar, and you discovered him. You figured out who the liar is. The court case is over. The true guy wins. It's sequence of Tzadik Shiras Arusha. And one guy was found out to be an absolute fraud. Zakta ben Yoina, Layiyu ben Necha Lo'ilam B'cheska Shakim. Don't treat him forever as a liar. Ubaldin Kush is a bad Baldin. A lot of times court case gets very heated. You saw it, not only was he lying, he was all angry and upset and carrying on bad midas. You shouldn't be chayshin him anymore. Lemaisi accepted his din. The yatzei bez din chayyeh, the yesh lachshon, you should think, shechaz b'tshuva, mistami d'tshuva, the aim b'daitei lasis ken kol yomav. And mistami doesn't plan on doing this his whole life. This is a tremendously important midah to learn. Sometimes we ready, like we paskin up on a person. We see a person do a certain avla, so an arayis forever and ever, that's what he is. Zehu, he's lost. Forever and ever, that's how we view him. For the rest of his life, we view him, he's this and he's a sinner. And here the Mishnah says, when he accepts it, then you saw him light his brain off. And you caught him at the end, and he was heated up, and he saw all his cast, all his beard midas. But the Mishnah says, when he leaves, you should look him as a zakai. It's over. He accepted the din. Mistami de tshuva. To learn to not to keep the old assessment. You saw the person do a bad thing. To learn to judge the person. Mistami de tshuva. Beautiful midas chasidus. Not to. Raiper spoke to some of the in my words. Raiper, he spoke about this. How many times we have a friend like we see something bad about him, and the rest of our friendship, we always say different things we see in him. We tighten up according to that bad need that we saw in him. And everything else would just be like reinforced. Yeah, you see he's bad, you see he's bad, you see he's bad. All because that first picture. And this Mishnah says, despite that first mistake, despite you saw him lying, okay, but now he accepted in the stomach from here on will be inside it. I'll tell you a maisa, amazing maisa. A friend of my father's was robbed. It's a long maisa. Somebody made a whole trick, a money trick. It got into my cell in Lakewood 30, 40 years ago. Whole story. And my father's friend was robbed by a certain man. He was robbed. Pasha was robbed. And this happened about 40. This mice happened 40 years ago. He was robbed. He was robbed. Pasha of all his money. He was a young, curly little man. And somebody came and robbed all his money. This person who robbed all his money had a run. It was eventually chased. It. I didn't know if he got into the shtickle. He had to change his identity. He went on a witness program, and he had to run. He had to run out of state for a while. He was out of the country. The kids had gone. It was a Maisa Shaya. The kids had gone years later. He was partial. You can imagine he was alone in the world. And this friend of my father's was robbed. Took this guy who robbed him into his house. And he used to eat the orphan, and he used to give him to eat. He used to take care of him. The very guy who robbed him, he used to take care of him. He used to care for him. An amazing mice and mamish is fine. My father Pashad asked him. My father asked, like, how could he rob you silly years ago? You're taking care. He used to take care of him. He used to eat by his house. He would take care for him. And he said, listen, that was then. That was a mice then. And he's thumbing out. He did tshuva. Mamish this mice. Mamish this mishnah. That mice happened then. Yet he's mekabelas aden. Stomach the tshuva. A yid's becheskes kashrus. Hagami did. It's midas chasidus. There's not a chiyah, by the way. The yid's midas chasidus. Beautiful midas chasidus. Hey, look, a yid could come to shadai with it just because they did it yesterday. Midas chasidus. We could have the ability to say that well. Rabbi Zar b'varecha shem etochim lam b'lushaker. Very interesting. Also talking to judges. First of all, check the witnesses out very well. And but. Even though you're checking them out well, be very careful in your words, because maybe they'll learn from your words to lie. What this means, Mefarshim explained, this is a good advice to a judge. You're checking out the witnesses very well. Many times from your questions, the witness could figure out what he's supposed to say. If the witness is a crafty guy, and you're asking a lot of questions, he could start getting a sense of what you want him to say. So you have to be crafty yourself, judge. Check out the witness as well, but be careful of your words not to give away and teach the guy how to lie. Don't, when you check him out well, don't teach him how to lie. That's one pshat. Another pshat that I once heard is important for chinuch, for a parent. It's important musa for a parent. The Pash Pshat in the Mishnah, most of the Farshim learn, it means check out the witnesses well, but in checking them out, be very careful. So you have to be very bright as a judge. Don't ask questions which teach the guy what you want him to say. So you have to have more balance. If he has different questions, he can't tell what you're getting at. You can imagine, you don't have to prepare well the court case. The judge has to ask the aide question. The aide cannot tell what you want him to say. So you have to trick him and ask different ways of asking him. You have to be very smart. Imagine certain people, like a picture, asking well, keep the guy off guard, that he doesn't know what he wanted to say. If he asks questions, the guy knows, and he wants me to say this, he'll teach him a lot. But I heard once advice in chinuch, is people, sometimes people set their children up to lie. There's certain cases, I'm not, sometimes you'll ask the kid, did you do that? You know he did it. You're setting him up to lie. Havezar b'dvarecha, be careful, the same thing with Aiden, it could be shout dying. Don't ask a question when the only choice of the person is to lie. Not kedai. You could say a better way of doing it, perhaps, is you say, Yanko, you did it. Tell Tati you did it. Tati likes when you tell the truth. You see, I did it. Instead of putting him in the corner, you know, coming at him blazing, did you do that? The kid's scared. No, I didn't do it. That's Havizor B'dvarecha. When you check him out, when you chayker the Eidim, when you chayker people, be very careful with your words. Shemad, you'll teach them to lie. You put them in a position where the only choice is to lie. Be very careful with your words and do it in a chachma different way where you don't force the person to lie.